I have no special memories because I was not in Juba that time. I was already a refugee. So I was watching the war on social media and directly on phone. Very disturbing. The person who saved my life 12 months before the war was killed. He was from the Nuer site, and he saved my life from somebody, and he made me get out of Juba. So when I heard that he was killed during that time, I was like, oh, somebody changed his life for mine. I mean, he saved me, and he remained in trouble and was killed later. So that memory disturbed me throughout. When I lost my own colleague, that one actually made me like, oh, let me hang on a bit and not trusting these systems yet.
Yes, and 5 years down the road since the crisis started, what do you think are some of the opportunities the youngest nation in the world have missed?
Oh, the great opportunity is the trust, the sympathy that we had acquired during the War of Liberation. Remember, during our war, there was a lot of sympathy because we were on a right track. We were for our rights, for independence, for everything that we claimed and we fought for. So the world was for us. There was media, publicity, everything was okay on our side until independence. Then after that, we had opportunity. Remember the influx of the diaspora, so-called lost boys, the investors, and until almost December when the investment conference took place. So we lost a very great opportunity for development, and this is an ingredient called trust, you know, the good name that we had. We missed that, and it's very, very difficult to build because we are now trending around the world in news, in the forms of rape, in forms of fighting, in forms of everything that is so bad. It's the opposite of what we had before. And that's number one. Number two is, of course, our population. Instead of building the population, from the first war, we were to ask everybody to come back home. We lost the population, and population is actually ingredient for development. We can't develop a country when people are not inside. So we lost a great population, we lost a great trust, we lost opportunities for development. And everything of that kind, like education, all the services, we've burned down our cities, we've burned down everything. So all these opportunities for development, the ingredients for development are all gone.
And the damage has already been done. Recently, the warring parties signed an agreement. It's 3 months since the agreement was signed. Moving forward, what lessons do you think we can learn from these 5 years as the implementation of this revitalized peace agreement continues?
Yeah, we have learned a lot of lessons. As the president said at Lavanuk, the chairman for SPLM, President Salva Kiir, said the political upheavals that we have gone through are for shaping us. So he used the word like are normal processes for shaping and building a great nation. I don't agree with that, but then let's treat it as lessons. Like what we have learned is that we have not achieved anything using the war. Even the peace agreement that we signed in 2005 was not achieved through war. So everything was negotiated. So I am of the view that we have learned that war does not give anything. It destroys everything. So anything to do with war should now be put aside. And we try other means. I've been part of the peace process at civil society. We used to discuss overnight. And then in the morning, everything was presented. And we thought every time we come back to Juba, we will try the peace part of the solution. But so the lessons are that war does not deliver. Yeah.
Yes, and for this peace agreement to stand, what do you think should be the game changer? What should they do differently this time around so we don't get back to 2016?
Oh, yes. Madness is described by Einstein as repeating one thing several times and we expect a different result. We thought we shared a bit the peace agreement that was signed in 2015 and spoiled in 2016. We shared it a bit during the negotiation, but what we are seeing now is the same thing being repeated. So to answer your question, the only thing is that chapter which is not written in the peace agreement, chapter zero, which is trust building. Trust building was initiated by Riek Machar and Salva Kiir and the parties when they came to Juba and shook their hands and all this. So trust building is number one that we should do. And trust building is done through action. We don't want to see them talking. We want to see people being released from prison. We want to see forces being cantoned. We don't want to hear people being raped here and there is fighting and press releases. Oh, we have been attacked. We have been done so. So trust building is number one. It's a game changer. If we don't act differently so that we build trust for our people to go back home, we cannot change the game. For example, I'm talking to you when I'm stressed now. My family is undergoing a serious trouble. We are searching for my elder brother who got lost on Sunday night. He just disappeared in his house at Chirikat. We are searching for somebody. At the time, I'm going through a campaign with the civil society here to make my mother, everybody go back home. We want people to go back home, and people are asking me, now, where is your brother? Disappeared and all this. So to build trust, we have to take action in security, in everything. So I'm telling my leaders and the people of South Sudan to do the real thing and implement the real agreement in spirit letter. Spirit and letter is that letter written. So they are doing something outside the agreement. They go and do their own thing, and they don't actually implement what is written down and signed.
All right. John Penn, just before you go, what will be your final message to the people listening to us this morning?
They should read the agreement and get the part that belongs to them. The people of South Sudan should read the agreement. I put the agreement in this category, just to say it in 30 seconds, David William. Number one is the chapter that belongs to Juba, the government and the parties. That is chapter one, the power sharing or governance. Chapter two, that is security arrangement. I classify this chapter as the power and how to protect power, and that belongs to the people in politics. It's not for South Sudanese. Then chapter 3 is chapter humanitarian, chapter 4 economic reform, chapter 5 which is accountability and justice. These are for the people of South Sudan. So chapter 3, 4, 5 are for Mama. This chapter should be also implemented. And chapter 6 up to 8 are for the constitutional process, the peace implementation, that for the good of the peace agreement, which is for the future of South Sudan. So when I categorize the peace agreement into three chapters, three sections, which are owned by the people of South Sudan, we must stick to what we own. So when we talk about accountability, how my house was burned down or my father was killed or blah, blah, and who did it, we should not be seen as a negative to the peace agreement. We are also positive. So when we talk about repatriation, my mother wants to go back and her son is getting lost. These things are part of the peace agreement. So I'm telling the people of South Sudan, let them understand the peace agreement so that they are not silent when they are talking about their rights in the peace agreement.